David's my neighbour, and I'm going to buy him a box one day to stand on. Aren't I? Well, we've heard that reading, haven't we? And the way sometimes we sit in church when we come to a reading like that, it's just another story. And I've had a mother once upon a time, and she used to read stories to us, and then we began to read them ourselves, and then we read them to our children and grandchildren. So the families go on, don't they? And we hear stories. But I wonder, this story is placed in the context of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And it's actually an event. It happened. It took place. It involved persons. It's a story of hopes and fears, of trust, of compassion, of death and resurrection, of loneliness, being cast out. It's a story, but it's a happening. It happened to people. And today we look for just a few moments at this small part of Mark's whole gospel. Part of the account of Jesus' movements in that area of Galilee. He had been last week, Des told us, brought us to see that event, casting out the demons from the tombs dweller. And interestingly, it says there that when he saw Jesus from afar, he was looking and he saw Jesus from afar, he ran down the slopes of that hill and he fell on his knees before him. And it was there, I'm tempted to do it, but I mustn't, he shouted out with a very weak voice, at the top of his voice, "What have you got to do with me, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Now, this is also an event that we heard of, and Mark has recorded. Consider Jesus with this event taking place. Consider the man as he's come down there. Consider the terror as you read in that story as that was opened there for us, of the satanic demons that have had hold of this man inhabiting this poor, alienated and twisted person, cast out from the community, no longer wanted to be there. And Jesus commands the demons to come out. That is an event that took place that Mark has recorded. I want to just go through, because we've had Mark piecemeal, haven't we? When did we start Mark? Can anyone remember the day we started going through Mark here from the pulpit? No one's going to tell me. I'll tell you what it was. It was the 30th of December 2023. Harold took that preaching day. Mark has been insistent and consistent in bringing to notice what he writes here in that very first verse of his account of Jesus. He says, "The beginning of the good news concerning Jesus, God's promised Messiah, the Son of God." That's what this gospel is all about. And he began unfolding that story, not just of a person. He didn't make a story. He is unfolding to us a saviour. Eric's mentioned that to us already. You'll recall some of those things there. You remember the day Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan there, and there's this voice breaking through from the heavens. This is my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with him. And then there was that driving out by the Spirit of God who descended on Jesus that day, driving him out into the desert places, 40 days, tempted, tested, put under pressure, day after day after day after day, by the evil one. Jesus returns from there, and he declares, "The time is near, the time has come, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news," or the gospel. They were heady days, weren't they, as we read through, and as we've had people, different folk, just share some of those stories, some of those happenings that went by there. Heady days. But Jesus reminds his friends there on one occasion that he didn't just come to have good success, but he came to tell that story. And if you go through Mark's Gospel and see the number of times where it's recorded there that Jesus taught, Jesus said to them, Jesus taught his disciples, Jesus told the parables, and then he taught his disciples what they meant. All the way through, he preached. Jesus was about something that was bigger than just having a crowd around him. But the crowds came around him, and we were told why that was. He also had a certain amount of opposition that grew as the time went by as well. You'll recall that that particularly comes into focus a little bit there, where Jesus has actually healed that man, or about to heal that man, who was let down through the roof. "Son, your sins are forgiven you." I was reading through that again the other day, and it says there that Jesus said so that they would know that he was the Son of Man, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And this, with other things, Sabbath day issues that the leaders of that community of faith had, it just got under their skin because they couldn't see that an ordinary man was allowed to function in this kind of way. They didn't get it. They didn't get who Jesus was. Yet there was something that was very winsome, engaging, as he taught. There was that resistance, but the people came. What a man this man was. Attracted. I wonder why they were attracted, and it would seem there's numbers of reasons, and we would know them. We have a look at things. Why do you watch the footy? Are you a good footballer? Oh, no one's offering to play for whoever got beaten yesterday or today. People follow and watch and stand on the edges, sometimes with a hope that they might benefit. They just might get something that, I wish, or those sorts of things, or they might even have something stronger than that. And Jesus gives those things to some, and it seems to others they don't receive it at that point of time. But I wonder what it is that Jesus really wants to bring to people. What is it he really wants to bring? Certainly he was willing to heal sickness, demon possession, ailments that people had. that Jesus said, I've come not just to heal righteous people, but those who are falling apart. That's my translation of it. I didn't come to heal those who are well, but those who are sick. And we've seen that in some of those events, as I'm trying to help us to see. I wonder then, did Jesus' words actually astound us when we hear some of those things he said? I've already said that to the ears of those that seem to be in that ruling class, some of the things he was saying were right off. Some of the parables that Jesus spoke, some he's already spoken that we've had brought to us by others, some of those that will come, you read in one of the occasions there where they got it. These leaders who didn't get the parables well got it, and it actually infuriated them because, as they say, he spoke that parable against us and they didn't want it. Can you imagine that this Jesus is the one that some of them said, it's the prince of demons that gives this person the ability to do what he does? So I want us just to pick up things again. Jesus has come from the man in the tombs across the lake in the boat again, and he's landed on the other side near Capernaum somewhere. There's crowds around about him, and pushing in through this crowd comes this synagogue ruler. He's not a teacher of the law. He's a man that picks up the dog's body jobs all the way around the place, makes sure the church is open and the air conditioner works on cold mornings and all those sorts of things. Keeps a bit of an eye on what has to happen day by day and week by week in the functioning of the synagogue there. He comes pushing through this crowd. His name's Jairus. And he comes and he falls down in the feet at the feet of Jesus. Verse 22 in our reading that we had today, we read these words. One of the leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell down at his feet. Now this man's on a mission. This is a happening. He's on a mission. He sees Jesus, he goes to him and falls down at his feet. That's very similar to the demon-possessed man, you remember? He falls down at Jesus' feet. There's something different about this fellow, though, because the other leaders, as we've just said, wouldn't have fallen down at his feet. What's made this man fall at the feet of Jesus? What is it to fall at the feet of Jesus? See, some of us are fairly well stuck together, aren't we? We've gone through life without too many big kicks. Things have been okay. And we don't fall down before anyone. But this man, who's a ruler, he has a responsibility which he carries out, and he bypasses his mate's ideas of who Jesus is, and he comes and he falls down before Jesus. And it's there as a man who is distraught. He's wanting help. He's heard of Jesus, but he bypasses all their cynicism and their scepticism and their questioning, and he cries out, Jesus, my little daughter is dying. please come and place your hands on her so she will be healed and live. And as we read the scriptures there, we read in verse 24, Jesus went with him. Can you see them? Can you see this man falling down there? Can you see him making that request? Some of us may have even been in that kind of a situation. How long has this little girl been dying? They're all the questions. And Jesus has compassion on him and went with him. In the crowd, a fago. And we keep reading down through those scriptures there, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Can you see it all happening? Here's the new thing for the day. Whoa. We were there the day this man came and said, my little daughter's dying. And we went along and we started chasing along. And Mark's filling us in now on a little bit more of the story of that day. A woman. Is she a mum? Is she old? Is she young? What's her situation of life? Well, we discover she's a woman that's had a bleeding problem for 12 years unabated. And culturally and practically and family-wise and worship-wise in the synagogue, she was no better off than a leper. If you sat on a chair where she had sat, you were unclean till the end of the day. So, we know who that lady is. It's the lady, a woman. Along with that, with all that actually means to a worshipper of God, and whatever her status was, a daughter of parents, a mother of children, a wife of a husband, whatever her situation, which we're not told, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. So here she is. In today's climate, she'd be a person in it now out on the streets, presumably. No money, nothing left. And interestingly, the little side thing there, instead of getting better, she got worse. Some of us are cynical enough with our doctors to say that, oh, I'm like that. But what a help we have. This lady had no help in that realm at all. So here's this woman. She's in this crowd. She shouldn't be in the crowd. She's unclean. She's not to be there. But she is there. When she heard about Jesus, and it doesn't tell us when she heard about Jesus, but she has heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, his clothes. She's got something in her mind. She's there with a purpose. Jairus was there with a purpose. A woman was there with a purpose as well. In her thinking, and I wonder where Mark found this out from. He how did he know what this woman's thinking? Because the Bible will tell us in a few minutes. She's thinking, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And she touched his clothes. And she was healed. Now, I don't know how much faith she had in Jesus. Might have been as much magic mixed up with faith, we don't know. But that's what she thought, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. That wouldn't have been a vagrant thought in people's minds at the moment, to be able to touch someone of importance. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. Can I say it again? This is not a story. This is an event in a woman's life which will have repercussions in her family, the community, her ability to worship again with God's people. Well, that's the lady side of the story. What about what else is there? In verse 30 we read these words, at once, that's right at this point of that touch, Jesus realised that power had gone out from him. How many times have we read of Jesus healing, casting out the demons, having compassion in different ways upon people? Take your own life, where you have compassion on another person, where you give into their situation, where you go out of your way to meet their need out of the resources God has given you. There's a cost, isn't there? There's a cost. Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Bit of a funny question, isn't it, really? Who touched my clothes? If you're wandering around through the gateways trying to get into the Adelaide show or something or another like that, and there's people, everyone's wanting to get at the front of the line or whatever, a great mob, who touched my clothes? Jesus knew something. I wonder why it bothered him. I wonder whether he considered the cost to forgive the sins of the man on the bed who couldn't walk. Who touched me? Well, here's our friends, the disciples. They answered him, come on, see all the people crowding around against you? Come on, you ask who touched me? Well, that's the level they were functioning at, wasn't it? But it's not the level at which Jesus is functioning at. This is the Jesus that Mark has said is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, He's the one who came to seek and to save the lost. He's the one who's looking for someone who knows they are sick or unwell and needs a doctor. Who touched you, Jesus? Oh, come on. And Jesus, it says, kept on looking around to see who had done it. Can you see him in that mob? You remember, they're on their way to Jairus' place. That's the setting. They're partway along that way. Here's this woman. She's snuck in. No one's noticed her. She snuck in, touched his cloak, and off she's gone. But Jesus knows someone's touched him, because something has been given or lost from who he is. And he knows that. And he won't be put off finding who it is. And he keeps on looking. Then, verse 33, this woman, knowing what had happened to her, she comes and falls at the feet of Jesus, trembling with fear. And she told him, and those that would have heard nearby, she told him the whole truth. In one of the other Gospels, it says she told him all that had been happening to her. The cat's out of the bag. Can you sense that person there trembling? She'd snuck out there, snuck away. Now she's exposed in a funny kind of way. She's exposed, and in fear and trembling, have I done the right thing? Have I done the wrong thing? What am I going to get here at this point of time? And yet I've already said Jesus had compassion on Jairus, and he has compassion on this woman. What happens when you receive a wonderful gift, and perhaps even a gift from God, something that's been beyond your comprehension? You receive that and you just sneak off. I'm fixed. What an incredible thing that Jesus will not let her go like that. But he wants to engage with this woman who's somehow put some kind of trust in being healed by him. And he wants to know her and for her to know him. She told him the whole story. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." She'd wanted to be freed from it, Mark had said just a few verses earlier there. "Your faith has healed you." Can you see the nature of God's insistent love to us? You see, it's an event to meet Christ. It's not a story. And see, it's an event, it's a happening that takes place that actually deeply affects us in our communities, in our home life, in our church worship, in everything else. It's a life expanding and changing and developing and growing thing that can be there for us, or we can just sneak off. She's confronted with something that she already knows. She knows she's been healed. But just imagine if that is affirmed by the Word of God. as Christ speaks face to face with her. And it just goes on, verse we didn't read. While Jesus was still speaking with her, Jesus spoke more words than that with her. That's, what, 10 or 15 words. Wonderful words, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Wonderful thing to hear. But while he was still speaking with her, some people came from the house of Jairus. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother this man anymore. David's going to be speaking next week and he'll pick these things up. What would it be to be in a circumstance like that? Having seen what's happened there in front of you, having heard what's gone on, for Jesus to then say to Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. I want to say that to us this morning. Life's not all as easy, is it? I want to ask, do you or have you or would you fall down in humble trust before God? Or are these just stories that we can read? I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing a song, but I just want to read first of all in a couple of the little sections from the verses of them, of this song. And as you sing it, just in quietness reflect on how God is to you and to me.